Right. What I need to speak about this morning is slaves and masters. All right. We don't really have slaves and masters, although we know that the slave trade thrives in South Africa and in the whole world, and people are being pulled into human trafficking. But that's not what I'm preaching about this morning. I've been speaking about relationships. We spoke a few weeks ago about not building a wall, not taking a fence. And then we spoke about belongingness, our need to belong. And last week we spoke about friendship. And as I was speaking to Lulu after the service last week, we said, well, today we'll naturally follow with marriage. And then that wasn't the way the Lord led me. The Lord led me into to scriptures related to the workplace. So this morning, I want to speak to the people in this church. So let me see, and I'm not just saying that to embarrass anybody. Let me see who's businessmen and women here in the church. Can I see just put after? Okay, there's lots. Okay. Just do me a favor. Just lift up your hands again because we pray for you. Businessmen and women. You got your own business. Okay. And just so that I can take note. All right. You can take your hands out. Let's see who's an employee here. All right. Not so many employees. Let's use unemployed here. Okay, there's a number. I think some people have kept their hand down because it's a bit embarrassing. But don't be embarrassed, okay? Because remember, the Lord is your provider. Let me see who's a manager here this morning or a supervisor of some kind or another. Lift your hands up high. I want to see you. Amen? All right. So, I believe that this message is for all of us. And even if you haven't raised your hand, you can take the principles of what I'm going to speak about this morning and you can apply them into your life. Right. And some of these things are kind of hard. I won't get as emotional as I got just now about praying. Right. I'm going to go home and give myself a hiding. Okay. The Bible has got a lot to say about laborers and employers, about slaves and masters. And when we read slave and master in the Bible, we can read laborer and employee. It doesn't mean you're a slave because you're a worker or because you're an employee. It's just I'm drawing a parallel. Are you with me? Okay. We need to take hold of those principles and apply them so we can experience God's blessing in our lives. God is our source. Who knows that God is our source? I said, if you lifted up your hand and say, I've got no job, God is still your source. He remains your source. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, in the New Living Translation, it says this, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed with your ancestors with an oath. Do you know we've also, not just our ancestors or the Old Testament people, but we've also got an oath. The oath we've got is the new covenant. It said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us. His word is on our heart and on our lips. God is always with us. That means he can always bless us. No matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are, you can be blessed. I want to just briefly stop and go back because it came into my mind now. The prophetic word, the people struggling. Remember the message I sent out on Friday morning. Jesus saying, don't worry. He said, don't worry about three things. He said, don't worry about your life, being able to live. It takes food and water to eat. Your body, clothing. All right. And the third one, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. And I pointed out the fact that today, you may have worries, but you are alive. You're breathing. You're here today. God has given you another day. I don't see anybody naked in this house, so you got clothing. And I trust that most of you, if not all of you, had a meal to eat this morning. Or sometime during today, you'll have a meal to eat. So what I'm trying to point out is that God has got you. He's got you. Your worries for today are sorted. Okay? Tomorrow, he will bless you tomorrow. Let that aside. So now, what have you got to worry about? You understand what I'm saying? Most of our worries are about what will happen tomorrow. What am I going to do when I retire? Am I going to have enough food? How am I going to meet my bond payment at the end of the month? What am I going to do if the sickness that I've got kills me? You understand? It's all about something that's going to happen then. Jesus said, let me be with you today. Just live for today. Live one day at a time. Survive one day at a time. Struggle one day at a time. Because it's going to take the weight of your struggle and make it less. Does that make sense to you? Amen. So that just came to mind when he said, he gives you power to be successful. He's given you the power to survive today. So live today for today. And tomorrow we'll deal with tomorrow tomorrow. That's why you need to have a quiet time in the morning. Commit your day to the Lord. And at night to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me today. And don't forget to say thank you. All right. I'll start now. Work is a reflection of our God in us. Did you know that? When you go to work, you can reflect God. I found this as I was researching in a website called ministry127.com. I'm not going to comment on anything else in that website because this is all I looked at, okay? But it says this. Your work is an expression of the image of God in you. And it's worth thinking about how your work reflects His character. Work is as simple, or work as simple as cleaning out a cupboard or a closet reflects the God who makes order out of chaos. If you've seen my clothing cupboard, you'll understand. It's tidy for a moment in time. Esther understands it because she does it for me. And then by the time I've pulled the first piece of clothing out, it becomes chaos. But even tidying that cupboard means you're turning chaos into something that's order. You're reflecting the character of your God. Work is as simple as if you're in scholar patrol or you're helping in the school, lifting up a stop sign for children to cross the road creates an environment of safety that reflects the God who's our protector. The person who turns burgers or flips burgers in the fast food joint is providing food. What does our Father do? He provides food. A father or mother nurturing and loving their child reflects the love and patience and perseverance of God. And the CEO of a large business pulls things together and moves things forward. That too is a reflection of what God does. He pulls things together, moves things forward. He said, I've got a plan for you, Jeremiah 29:11. On the other hand, there's some pictures of bad work ethic, all right? There was a sign in a window that read this, no help needed or wanted. We see lots of those at the moment. Don't bother to apply. No help wanted. As two men were passed by, the one said to the other, you should apply. You'd be fantastic. Because you know help. All right? Or maybe you heard about the guy that said, I never like to drink coffee at work because then I toss and turn at my desk all day. All right. Funny enough, my wife this week, she was on these heavy drugs for her sore back, but she was overdosing last week and she didn't realize and she read it wrong. She was taking too much. She slept the whole weekend. So the one day at work, she had a little issue. All right. I did embarrass you. But it wasn't because she generally sleeps on the job. It was that medication. I felt very sorry for myself last weekend because I had to do cooking and I had to make coffee and I had to do all the running around. And really, women's work is women's work. And I'm begat to have something thrown at me. All right. Now we're talking about workplace ethics, okay? So we're talking about ethics. What is the godly ethic? How are people of God meant to do business, whether as an employer or an employee? So the first one I'm going to address is the right employer / manager / survivor attitude. In fact, I'm not. I'm going to start with the right employee attitude, the person that has been paid. Ephesians 6:5-7. Bond servants, in other words, servants or workers, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Not our masters necessarily, but our employers, our bosses, our managers. With fear and trembling. In sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. The word of God is so simple and straightforward. I can just read that out line for line and you'll know exactly what the Bible says you must do. But let me explain it to you. Okay, the workplace, and I know as an employee, I worked for many years in corporate, and there were days, Cheryl will tell you, I came home and I said, sweetie, is it okay for me to resign? I just can't handle this anymore. Okay, the workplace can be a horrible place. I understand that. It's got lots of pressures, lots of demands, unrealistic demands sometimes. And sometimes we just can't cope with the work that we've been given because we're not necessarily correctly educated or prepared for it. And sometimes it's our own problems. We're dealing with other issues, personal issues, and it makes it hard to work properly. So we understand that the workplace is not necessarily a bed of roses. It's not necessarily the land of milk and honey, okay? But Paul said, obey your masters according to the flesh. That doesn't mean you must run after them in a fleshly manner. It means obey your human masters, okay? Obey them. Do what they tell you to do. We need to obey the policies and the workplace rules and regulations. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in a disciplinary inquiry and we're going to be complaining and saying, Pastor Keith, will you pray for me? I'm in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to obey the rules. And at the same time, you need to obey the laws of the land because there's lots of laws that govern corporate business or contract law and all sorts of different laws. We need to obey the laws. With fear and trembling, what does that mean? Must I now quiver before my boss? Sometimes we do. But what it means is we must work with respect. You must respect your boss. You must respect the law, the person that the Lord has given you as your manager. Because remember that scripture I read, Deuteronomy 8:18. God gives us the power to get wealth. He gives you the ability to work. He gives you the ability to be an employee and to earn your salary. And when you walk out the door in a huff and walk away from your salary, well, good luck to you in trying to find another job in this economy. You only find a job by grace. But allow the Lord to give you grace to cope in your circumstances and respect your boss. They don't always deserve it, but respect it because God's word said respect it. Are you with me, church? I feel like the Lord is bringing us to a place where I'm teaching on how to live our lives as Christians, whether it be in the church or tomorrow when you go to work. And I can hear all the bosses saying, yeah, that's exactly how it should be. Okay? Be sincere as you would for Jesus. Don't work just when they're watching you. I know, I've had people working for me. In fact, there have been times in my life when I've done it myself. Okay? When he's watching you working, but when the cat's away, the mice will play. I'm going to watch my clock. If I go home at 5 o'clock, at 3 minutes to 5, I'm at the door. So that when come 5 o'clock, I go ding, and I step out the door. Are you with me? Don't do that. Don't do that. Do what you need to do. I'm not saying spend your whole life at work either, because you've got a family. And you need to make the right choices. But be sincere. Be sincere. Serve, it says, serve with a good heart, with good will. Remember to work as a God pleaser. Not as a man pleaser. When you're working as a man pleaser, you've got a problem. You need to please God. When you're only working when your boss is looking, you're being a man pleaser. It's what I said earlier this morning. When you're only going to Angus Buck and when he calls a prayer meeting, you're chasing after man. You're chasing after man's approval. Okay? Nothing wrong with it, Angus Buck. Please, I respect him greatly. We need men like him in this country and women. And pastors and individuals like that. So don't be mad, but serve with a good conscience. It speaks about with a good and a clear conscience. Serve with a clear conscience. Have you got a clear conscience in your workplace? Have you been working when your boss is watching and jawing when he's not watching? Have you been working to the full? Ephesians 6 verse 8 gives us the reason why. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Whether he is a slave or free. Whatever good you do, as you sow, that you will reap. Now you might be unemployed this morning. You might say, but this isn't relevant to me. Of course it's relevant to you. Because one day the Lord is going to give you work. And you need to know how to work in the workplace. You didn't realize you were going to come for a corporate / work type motivation this morning, did you? Well, you're getting it. Are we working right? Do we run down our boss every time we get the opportunity? Do you realize there's power in your words? When you talk about your boss, and I've done it, you know that banana. He's got no idea. There's power in our words. When you curse your boss, you're cursing yourself because you're cursing your workplace, the place that pays you. Are you with me, church? We need to apply God's word to every aspect of our lives, every area of our lives. What about the right employer slash manager slash supervisor attitude? Well, Ephesians 6 verse 9 carries on. Okay, so now you employees can sit back and say, yeah, okay. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Amen. While I'm at it, don't have favorites, whether it be among your employees or among your children. Okay, don't have favorites. In the modern workplace, there aren't slaves, but there are employees. And the managers and employers and the supervisors, they are the masters. Treat your subordinates with respect. They are due respect. They are human beings. They are not machines. I hate it when the corporate world speaks about, we've got so many resources. You know what resources says? I'm dehumanizing the people that work for me. Because they're no longer a person. We've got so many people working for us. We've got so many resources. They're just a means to an end. And corporates are treating people like a means to an end. Are you in your business treating people like they're a means to an end? Or are you treating them as human beings? Because the Word of God says, treat them right. Can I hear an amen? Are you with me this morning? I sometimes see people as being, don't worry about what's happening. We can trust the Lord will deal with that. In fact, let me just pray. Let's just close our eyes. Now, Father, we pray that whatever's happening, whether it's somebody not feeling well or whatever it is, we plead the blood of Jesus. We thank you that the enemy will not stand against any attack. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No tongue raised against us shall stand. And we are overcomers and conquerors in Jesus' name. So I plead the blood of Jesus over that circumstance. I pray that it'll be resolved right now. And I pray that our focus can be where it needs to be, which is on this message. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I sometimes see people being nothing less than corporate slaves. When you are working 10 to 12 hours a day, Saturdays you're taking work home. I hated it when they would say to me, here's some weekend reading for you. What a load of rubbish. Okay, there's a time for that. There's a time in this pressure. There's a time in the year. I'm a financial guy, so we would do budgets and year end. Yes, that's fine. But not all year round. You've got a family and you've got a life. And you've got a relationship with Jesus that needs to be maintained. It's got to be balanced, church. Don't expect that of your employees. And as an employer, don't get into that corporate. It's almost like a, it's a just expected norm. It's a culture. If I'm not working longer than my normal hours, then I'm not accepted. Rubbish. Do your work at work. Work hard. Work diligently. Get it done. And go and rest with your family. So tomorrow you're going to go to your boss and say, my pastor said. Okay. Bullying people into unfair performance contracts. Unrealistic expectations. Expecting one person to do the work that three people are meant to do. And that's exactly what happens in the workplace. Because they retrench. Eventually, there's not enough people to do the work. But they still expect that one person that's left to do all the work. No more money. Just slave. Just be a slave. Are you with me? That's the truth. I can say it because I worked in a higher level in corporate. Okay, I saw it. I experienced it. I stood against it. I kind of rebelled. I didn't rebel. But there's a time when you've got to say, go to your boss and say, you know, I really appreciate my work. I understand about the pressure, but I can't handle anymore. It's breaking me. You've got to understand, church. Depression, stress, they kill you. What good are you to your family dead? Are you with me? Amen. Okay, and then bosses, just remember Ephesians 6:8, which I read to the employees. The Lord will reward each of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. All right. So employer, employee, manager, subordinate, let us treat those we work with correctly and in a respectful manner, and the Lord will see and reward us correctly. Are you with me? It's kind of very distracting. There's a lot of people getting up and walking out. Is this message that bad? Okay, please try not to. If you need to go to the loo, you're welcome to, but if you can, just hang on to it. It's very distracting. So do we need to look at how we're treating people that are working for us? What about our households? Many households in this country have domestic servants working for them. They've got gardeners. They've got other people working for them. How do you treat your domestic? Do you speak to them properly? Do you pay them properly? Do you treat them fairly? Just asking a question. Can I hear an amen? And then honesty. Let's go to honesty. I'm talking about workplace ethics this morning. Proverbs 16 verse 11 from the Amplified says this. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work, established on His eternal principles. Are you with me? So God established units of measure. He made things measurable. He created those units of measure and ability to weigh things. He put in place divine order. So what does this talk about? It talks about in those days they would cook the scales and the person would pay the full amount, but the scale has been cooked so they got less than what they were paying for, right? But there's other ways to do it. You can cook the books, right? You can underpay your staff. As employees, we can also cook the books and cheat and steal and not do enough. We can serve up less work than what we're being paid for. Are you with me? God is one who put the scales in place. He will measure and we will be judged based on our attitude towards these principles. They are eternal principles. It's a principle that exists. Some other examples, bribery, corruption, we see a lot of that, fraud, and just plain theft. Proverbs 11 verse 1 says this, a false balance and unrighteous dealings, fraud, theft, nepotism, whatever you want to call it, are extremely offensive and shamefully sinful to the Lord. But a just weight is His delight. What would you like to do? Would you want to do a shameful act before the Lord, or are you willing to delight Him? Can we say that we stand blameless before the Lord this morning, church? That we've been doing the right things in our workplace as employers or employees? Let us do what is right. God will bless what is done with honesty and with integrity. I'm just skimming over the stuff. The Bible is full of it. And then let's go to the next point. Our word is our bond. Our word is our bond. Matthew 5 verse 37, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So your boss comes to you and says, can you do this for me by tomorrow morning? And you say yes, because you don't know how to say no to your boss, but it's unrealistic. Say no, because your yes is your yes and your no is your no. Whether you're trying to please your boss or not, if you've said yes and you know you can't do it, you've lied. Are you with me? Corporate and workplace ethic. You've got to have the right ethics. There's a time when... Don't just go and say no because I said you can say no. Are you with me? A business will develop a good reputation when it does what it says it will do and charges what it agrees to charge. Are we charging what we initially said we would charge? Or has everything changed? Let me tell you, there's nothing more irritating to me, a financial guy. If you tell me you're going to do something for me for 500 rand, and then I get the bill and it's 750 rand. But then it's also my own fault. So I always ask for a quote. And if you quoted me 500 rand, I'll pay you 500 rand. And if I can understand and I agree that you add this and do that and I've asked for you for more work, then I must pay for that. But if you've delivered what I asked you to deliver, don't charge me more. Are you with me? I'm talking to business owners here. I'm talking to managers and salespeople. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Problems start when we overpromise and underdeliver. Are you with me? Say that with me. Overpromise, underdeliver. I needed you to say that so you can be awake. All right. Psalm 8, and then remember, our word is our word. So what? Yes is yes. No, no. Nothing more. I was a commercial manager. I dealt with lots of contracts. I always used to say, you know what a contract's there for? This is stuff I taught by the lawyers. You know what the contract is there for? Contract is there so that you lay out everything that's got to be done. But when do you pull out the contract? Pull out the contract when things go wrong. Okay. But if we were all people of our word, we'd only need the contract to remind us because we maybe forgot. Are you with me? Psalm 89, the nature of our God. 89 verse 33 to 34. But I will never stop loving Him, nor fail to keep my promise to Him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. That's our God. He says, I will not break my covenant, my agreement, and I will not take back a single word that I've said. Ach, I shouldn't have said that. God says, I won't take it back. You can trust me. I will stand on my word. We need to reflect that character of God. Are you with me? Reflect the character of God. Are we people of our word? Are you a man and a woman of your word this morning, church? Because that is the challenge. If you want God's blessing upon your life, say yes when you need to say yes, and say no that when you need to say no, and don't lie. Be a person of truth. My children will teach you. When they were growing up, the worst thing for me was, because you know when your children are lying, was when they lied to me. I'd forgive them if they just were straight about being naughty. But if they lied to me, they got a proper paksla. And yes, they got paksla. And none of them are dead or poorly developed or wrong or having mental issues. All right. And then the next point for our employers. Pay a fair wage. 1 Timothy 5 verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. Now it's actually talking about the shepherds, the pastors, okay? But you can apply this anywhere in business. Profit is the motive of most business. Why would I want to start a business if I'm not going to make some money? Okay? All businesses need to make money, all right? Unless it's a business not for profit, okay? We're raising funds to support something. But even in those businesses, you need money, okay? But when the drive for profit results in people being oppressed through unfair wages and low wage practices, then the business is running contrary to business principles. Because the laborer is worthy of their wage. We've brought in a national minimum wage. We know that it's going to create some hassles. But think about this, church. If I'm earning 20 rand an hour, two times 8 hours is 160 rand a day. Okay? That's how much is that? 400, 6 times 5. It's about 800 rand a week. Am I right? It's hardly enough to live on. Okay? I don't know if I worked that out right. But anyway. It's 900 rand. Sorry. Accountant brain. It's hardly enough to live on. Right? If you look for a place around here to rent, you can rent a room for 1,500 rand. Then you've got to pay prepaid electricity. Then you've got to buy food. You know what I'm trying to say? There's the absolute bottom level. Okay. Don't underpay your staff, especially if you can afford to pay them more. On the other hand, this kind of blackmail that we're seeing at the moment, where people want increases in excess of inflation year after year after year, I know that we're addressing issues of the past and the history where there is a gap that needs to be closed. In my mind, it'll probably never properly be closed, but there's no problem with that. But when we start blackmailing like the Eskom workers did, and Eskom deserved it, okay? But we can't use our work to blackmail. I don't believe that's good. Look, if employees don't want to be fair, then they need to be dealt with. There's a place for striking. There's a place for protest. But when protest becomes blackmail, then we're on dodgy. Are you with me? We're on dodgy ground. All right. But that's not what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about the laborer being worthy of their wage. Malachi 3 verse 5. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners. Widows and orphans. If you exploit wage earners and widows and orphans. And against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Those who exploit wage earners, employees, are categorized alongside sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, and those who exploit widows and orphans and foreigners. Foreigners are like the people that come from other countries. Okay? If you exploit your wage earner, you're categorized in the same way as somebody who practices witchcraft. That's serious stuff, isn't it? You're right to be silent, church. Okay? God will judge them. God will judge us if that is what we're doing. Think about your domestic servant. Think about your gardener. Think about the person that doesn't have work, so you underpay him because he doesn't have work, and what you're going to give him is better than what he could be getting elsewhere. Do our employees earn fair wages and salaries? Are we blessing those who work for us and proving that our master is God and not mammon? When mammon's our God, we underpay our employees. Are you with me? Because money's more important than God and his principles. And then, for the employees, you need to earn that salary. There's that saying, he's a good employer, but he expects his pound of flesh. Does anybody know that saying? Okay. We need to give our pound of flesh. Romans 4 verse 4 in the New Living Translation says this. When people work, their wages are not a gift. They're something, but something they've earned. All right, now the employees are saying, yes, I'm not earning a gift. I'm working for this. I want to say to you that I'm earning a salary. Do you deserve what you've earned? When you get your money in your bank account at the end of the week or at the end of the month, do you feel that you can stand before the Lord and give your tithe with a pure and a clear heart, knowing that you've earned what you've been paid? Because when the boss is turning his back and I'm running around and I'm haka-hakaing and I'm chatting to my friend and I'm going for 5,000 smoke breaks a day and I'm doing the absolute minimum, I cruise in at last minute, I leave at first chance I get, I take long lunch breaks and long tea breaks, I'm not earning my salary. I'm earning part of my salary and I deserve to only get paid part of my salary. Then I come to the church and I want to honor God and I give him that which I haven't earned. Are you with me? Tough. This message is tough this morning. I don't want to come across as a church where there's no grace because we trust in God's grace. So I'll tell you where grace comes in. If grace is ours, then God is gracious to forgive us when we've done wrong. All right. Proverbs 11:18 says this. The wicked man does deceptive work. The kind of work I just spoke about. Deceptive work is when I pretend that I'm working, but I'm not doing everything I should be doing. But he who sows righteousness, I do what is expected of me, he will have a sure reward. So let us not work half-heartedly, pretending to be busy. Let us be busy doing what God has given us to do, the work that he's provided for us. Then he can bless the work of our hands. Then he can multiply. Then we can think about getting promotion and increase. Are you with me, church? Increase doesn't just come because it's the end of the year. Increase comes because we have earned it. And then taxation. I don't know how much time I've got. I've got a few minutes. Tax. Do I need to speak about tax? Matthew 22:21. Corporate ethic. Business ethic. Employer ethic. Employee ethic. They said to him, Caesar's. What did he ask? He said, whose face is on this coin? And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. Who likes paying tax? Can I see a show of hands? Oops, let me just take mine down while I'm at it. None of us like paying tax. But Jesus said, give to Caesar what is due to Caesar. When we cheat on our taxes, we don't only cheat the government. We are thieving. We are stealing. We are lying. Being deceptive. And you know what? If I cheat on my taxes, that means the government gets less money from me. Guess who bears that burden? You. Because the bucket has just got smaller. So now the government even needs to demand more from those that don't cheat on their taxes. Are you with me? When you cheat, you're stealing from your brother and sister. Sitting here right with you. Don't cheat on your taxes. Romans 13 verse 1 says this, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. If I resist the government, yeah, but they are a bunch of thieves, they're full of fraud, they can't manage the country properly, pray for them, church. Pray yeah in the prayer meeting. Pray in your own and go to the Angus Buchan meeting and pray. Okay. God will hold them accountable. Leave it to God to hold them accountable. Okay. When we went on the 22nd of April, it wasn't last year, it was the year before. Time goes too quickly. Things started changing in this country. And the whole thing about state capture and the Guptas and all of that came out. Okay. God will deal with them. Your job is to obey the law of the land. And to do so diligently. because you are obeying the ordinance that God has put in place. Have you noticed something I've said this morning? I've been speaking about godly ordinance, God's ordinance, the steps and the procedures and the policies God put in place. So while we think we are resisting the government, we're resisting God. Be careful if you want to be blessed. Then be generous. This is my second last point. It's my last point. Be generous. Leviticus 23:22. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. What was God saying there? He said, I'm your God. You don't have to rely on the last little drips and leave them there for the poor people. Trust me, I'm your God. And while I bless you, I also want to bless them. How do we apply that into our lives? God wants employers to be generous. He wants employees to be generous. Everybody who earns money should be generous. Be generous with what the Lord gives you. I've learned. I've got a long way to go, church. I've got to learn to give more. But I've learned when there's somebody in need, you close your eyes and you take out and you give. And then you go and look at your bank account and you can see the transaction went. But when you come to the end of the month, there's still money. How does that work? God's ordinance. He said, leave some. That means if you earn a salary, aside from what your tithe, your offerings, make sure that you're making way for the poor. We've got this box here. And people have been put. There's not one time when it's overflowed. Not once. It's never overflowed. Because we still need to learn to support the poor. And there's lots of you giving. I understand that. And I know times are tough. But just think about, if it's tough for you, what about for those who have got nothing? Amen? There's people in this church that live in shacks. People in this church that live in shelters. There's no shame in that. But there's a shame in those that can see that and do nothing about it. Are you with me? Are we generous? Proverbs 11:25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That's God's word. It's his promise. Go and stand on it. The God-ordained principle, the godly ordinance is you shall reap as you sow. Bring yourself under God's ordinances. So I want to wrap up by saying this. And church, this has been a bit of a different message, okay? It doesn't mean fire and brimstone. I think the Lord is just teaching us, teaching me, teaching you. Principles. It might be worth ordering this or going and downloading the notes from the website. Because you're probably not going to remember it all. There are many principles we can learn from the Bible about our work and about business ethics. I've covered only a few today. There's lots more. We could go into all sorts of stuff. But as we go into our business and our workplace, let us keep these few facts in mind. Work as unto the Lord, whether you're an employer or an employee. Know that God is watching and he will reward you accordingly. Secondly, be honest in all your dealings. Let there be integrity and uprightness. Let them say, too many times we hear this nonsense, I won't do business with a Christian. Why? Because Christians are dishonest. It's the truth. It says, let us keep our word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be people of integrity. If they say you're a Christian, reflect Christ. Employers, pay fairly. Pay right. And employees, earn that salary. Do what it takes to earn your salary. And finally, be generous. Doesn't matter who you are. If you earn income, be generous. God will prosper if you are willing to give. And I want to encourage you finally with Psalm 37. Verse 23 to 25, precious words. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. I've been speaking about living a godly life, godly ordinance, godly principles. The Lord will direct your steps if you choose to live like that. He will delight in every detail of your life. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord upholds them by the hand. You see, if you live right, God will even pick you up when you stumble, when you make a mistake, when you trip up, when things go wrong. And then David says, once I was young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. If you live a godly life, if you work as a godly employee, if you employ as a godly employer, if you do business dealings with integrity, if you can be a man and a woman of God, you will never, ever go hungry. I was young and I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. Who wants to be like that? Amen. Let's stand, church. Let's close our eyes. I want to ask you this morning, first, before I pray for anything else, close your eyes. There's no shame in confessing our sin, confessing the wrong. There's no shame in, the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you've been living that life that doesn't line up with godly ordinance, you want to recommit your life to Jesus. You want to give your life to Him. Say, Lord, I've been going down my own path, seeking my own fame, seeking my own riches, doing it my way. I want to turn from that and serve You. Lift your hand. Lift it high. Father, You see these hands. Lord, I want to ask that You will bless every person that's raised their hand. Forgive us where we've done it wrong, where we have not been in line with godly ordinance. Forgive us and cleanse us and make us free and bring restoration in our finances, our workplace, in our relationships, and particularly restore us in our walk with You. You can take those hands. And then I want to ask you, those of you that have been having a hard time in the workplace, it's just you're battling, you're either battling to get work, you're battling with your boss, you're on the verge of being retrenched, whatever it may be, workplace problems, put up your hand. Lots of hands going up, lots of hands. Just lift those hands. I'm not going to call you forward, too many hands. Are we willing to trust God this morning? Our Father, I'm going to go and read that scripture. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 tells us that You are the one who gives the power to get wealth. Lord, we know that there's nothing we can't do with You, but there's nothing we can do without You. It's not by might or by power, but by Your Spirit. I pray for each one that lifted their hand, whatever the need may be, whether they need work and employment, whether they need favor in the workplace, whether they've been treated unfairly or unjustly or overworked. Lord God, whether the stress is just too much to handle, I pray that You will turn it around. Give us the ability to earn wealth and yet to live prospering, happy, joyful lives. And Lord, I even remember, let us learn to live today for today and tomorrow for tomorrow and not worry about what's going to happen at the end of this week. Let us trust You. Because the one thing I know is that You are our sovereign God. And You said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and You delight in their way. And though they fall, they will never be cast down, because You uphold them in Your hand. So uphold our people this morning. Help them. Give them the work they need. Give them the victory they need. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.